want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.
If you've ever asked ChatGPT to help you write a tricky email or watched Gemini summarize a 20-page document into 5 neat bullet points, then you've already had a taste, just a taste, of what generative AI can do. But let's be honest, beyond the buzzwords and productivity hacks, there's a lot we don't understand. What is generative AI? Is it just fancy autocomplete, or are we standing at the edge of something much, much bigger? Tonight's guest is someone who doesn't just work with data, he translates it into power. Timothy Oriedo is the visionary founder of Predictive Analytics Lab and Big Data Institute of West Africa, where he leads the charge in helping African governments and corporates harness data for smarter, faster decisions. A respected voice on everything from predictive modeling to AI ethics, Timothy is the one you want in the room when you're trying to separate fear from fact and hype from true impact. So today, whether you're a curious non-techie, a cautious business leader, or someone who's just trying to make sense of it all, this conversation is for you. Let's demystify the tech. Let's talk ethics, power, possibility, and what it means to be human in the age of machines. Mr. Big Data Coach Timothy, good evening and welcome to the show.
Yeah, good evening for me.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
I'm doing well. I'm doing well as well. Are you ready for our chat today? Because you're going to be teaching,
yes.
You're going to be coaching, you're going to be doing all the things that you normally give exclusively and for big bucks with the corporates. Are you ready for us?
Oh, yes. I'm very much ready.
All right. I wanted to begin where most people are, okay? So for those who hear the term and instantly feel overwhelmed, what exactly is generative AI? Let's start simple.
All right. Okay, so you set a very good precedence. I'm sure pretty much a lot of the audience, or majority of them, have utilized ChatGPT, which is a democratized version of AI. So generative AI comes from the word generate itself means being able to generate new frontiers or new. So it comes from the word learning.
Yes.
Yeah, so generative AI is the version of AI that is able to learn rather than recognize patterns of data.
Mm.
Yeah, so the reason we call generative is because the more and more you use it, the more and more intelligent it becomes.
Interesting.
So you can think of it as a living being that grows and gathers experience, and the more experience it gathers, the more knowledgeable, or the more potent it becomes in offering solutions.
That's so interesting, because you said generative AI is the version of AI that learns. So there's a version that doesn't?
Yes.
And
the version that doesn't. So that is the traditional AI. Yeah, so that's actually the difference between the traditional AI and generative AI.
And where does ChatGPT lie between those two?
ChatGPT is a generative AI. Yeah, it actually benefits a lot from users, in as much as it's got its own engines that are set to learn.
Yes.
But they crowdsource a lot of the feedback from the different users.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and as we'll be seeing in our conversation, some of the underlying technical parameters that make it fit the bill of a generative AI.
Yeah,
its ability to learn. Yeah, from diverse users.
So what's interesting is that people don't realize that we've had AI in our lives for quite a while, right? In search engines, recommendations, maps. Is that what we call traditional AI versus the generative one that we've now gotten accustomed to?
Now, they're different categories. So traditional AI actually didn't start long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about 10 or so years ago. But we had maps before.
Mm.
Yeah, so the maps use what you call a page rank system. It's just a searchable database. So that was not AI.
Okay.
Yeah, you had a database somewhere where someone has fed in the information, and you will key in word, and it will search and give you the feedback based on the
Okay.
words, based on the words which are the database.
So what
Traditional
examples?
AI.
Yes, what examples of traditional AI do we have?
Traditional AI on the other side has got two things, so three things actually. So there's what we call elements of algorithms, and then you have data, and then you have computational ability, which is what you call GPU, being able to,
Okay.
like a calculator.
Oh.
So you feed in information. There's a calculator which has got it consumes processing power, similar to what a computer will do. Yeah, so that processing for mathematical formulas
Yes.
is what helps in prediction. So traditional AI is for predicting outcomes. Yeah. So, for
Interesting.
example, you may want to predict what will be the performance
Yes.
of a certain football match or a certain football club
Yes.
based on certain conditions. So there's the information about previous performances of that football club, and then there is the mathematical formulas which are used to compute the different outcomes, and it analyzes the most accurate outcome
Oh, okay.
and
Weather
gives you a
services?
prediction. It predict gives.
What do weather services guys use?
Yeah, so the weather services uses the same model. So we have data. The first element of data is available.
Yes.
And then number two,
Yes.
we have the mathematical algorithms. So these are mathematical formulas. There are different types about, let me say something called linear regression, time series, random forest. Those are different mathematical algorithms which now are applied on the data, and they give you varying degrees of accuracy when you're predicting.
Yeah.
So you always choose the one with the most accurate prediction.
Now I have to
Yeah.
ask this one. You know, there's a thing that people say that Google is listening to us. Don't say anything because you start talking about sprites with your friend. And every advert you see after that on YouTube, on Google, is about sprites. So those algorithms that are run on social media and YouTube, what model is being used there?
Yeah, so those are called recommendation engines. Yeah, so what happens is whenever you log in into a website or a tool, it gives you the option to accept cookies. So
Yes.
whenever you see accept
Those
cookies,
cookies, they're not
yeah,
our grandmother's cookies.
exactly. Those cookies are just elements of signals that are going to be picked from your phone. So which will include location cookies, voice cookies. So your microphone actually records your conversation and stores in a server, and it picks up the keywords of what you're saying. So if you're talking about
Crazy.
flying to Durban for vacation,
Yes.
it's now feeds into the servers for Google for adverts and say, who is advertising about a hotel in Durban? So let's now show the adverts on your search, on your history, or your browser portal. So that's why you find that those adverts coming. So they do actually listen, by the fact that you've enabled it to listen to conversations.
Is crazy.
So,
And now I'm thinking about literal cookies, right? That when you eat a cookie, you leave crumbs. So that's what it's like.
exactly.
It's like we're leaving crumbs for the internet to follow.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh
So
my goodness,
they
this is
do.
crazy.
Yeah, so they ingest. That's the data that those algorithms ingest, and then it's traditional AI now, what we call recommendation engines. And then they recommend to the ad-serving platforms which adverts that match your listener profile, your user profile, your digital profile. So you only see adverts relevant to what you are, based on your location, your likes, the attributes of your friends, and other parameters that are considered useful when you're doing ad recommendations.
Sure. I've heard people call generative AI everything from a glorified chatbot to a revolutionary force. In your view, what makes it special?
Yeah, so what makes generative AI special is because it has got little input of the human, and it snowballs in knowledge a lot more faster. It's not dictated by the human, so it's parallel, it's alternative intelligence parallel to the human intelligence. So so what it makes it, it's a positive and also a negative, in the sense that it's enabling us to discover more things that we'll not have been able to discover with our natural intelligence. And on the other retrospect, in terms of ethical, it may actually lead to, biasness in certain elements. And that's why it's become a concern at the global scale. Yeah, how to control its use, especially in some sectors.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, I'd love for us to go behind the curtains, right, to actually understand how it works. So take us inside an engine room. How does generative AI actually work in the simplest terms?
Yeah. So generative AI actually has got now the mathematical models and algorithms, which utilizes what you call LLM. LLM is what you call large language models. Yes. Large language models. Yeah. So like Llama. Language models, those are engines that understand text and language, and they both decipher it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the more words you feed into it, the more relations it gives into it, and then it starts reasoning through. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It starts reasoning through. Yeah. The text. Yeah. So the reason why it's uses the what you call generative is because when you give it something and it does sort of an error, it can be able to cross-reference and correct itself. Yeah. So the more knowledge piles up on it, and then it can also mimic or follow a certain style based on what information has been. Yeah. So for you to have a generative AI model, you need a lot of data that it can learn from. Remember, it's learning. So it's, for example, if you're a newspaper publisher and you want to publish, you want to automate the publishing of your news, there's a certain style that you use to write your stories.
Yeah.
So for the generative AI to follow that style, you have to feed it with a lot of your previous articles, lots and lots of it, so that it follows the same style. Yeah. When writing and mimicking those stories.
This yeah, is so the fascinating same, for me. Yeah, continue. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. So the same too. It can generate images. Yeah. So you find pictures. You give it a face to someone, then tell it to come up with a video. So it's very diverse, because it's can be able to mimic a natural process of an artist. It can be able to mimic the natural process of creating music. So,
And you're talking about things at our disposal, like your ChatGPT, your DeepSeek. We can actually do these things in the palm of our hands.
Yeah.
That is exactly wild. That is wild. Mm-hmm. So what I'm interested in or intrigued by is somebody obviously developed this thing, right? Somewhere, sitting somewhere, they developed this thing. But it requires our input in order for it to give it a way to think, I guess, and a way to feed us back information, right? Which bias is stronger, the one of the one who developed it or mine? Does it follow my bias or the bias of whoever it was? So if it was an atheist that developed it or a Christian, which bias does it tend more towards?
Yeah, so at the initial stage, it's tend more towards the one who created it. Yeah, because unless now it gets a lot more data coming in from different users, the initial data that was fed in defines what it's what I can call personality will be. However, it can be abused, and you can find other nuances, for example, of race, gender, yeah, being able to use to skew its reasoning and ability to provide accurate decisions. So, for example, we have had cases where an AI model that was being used by police, whenever it's fed with an image of a black person, it mostly tended to classify them as criminals based on the image. So you find that that's a bias based on race.
Sure. Okay. Now I'm very curious to know, what are the most exciting use cases you've seen for generative AI in business so far, especially in our African context?
Yeah, so what we find it more being used for example, if you run a business and you like to generate, for example, just a simple poster that can give you leads for your business. So, for example, you want to advertise a new offer you have for your shop or business. Yeah, you can use the ChatGPT Canva plugin to generate a poster. So initially, you will have to pay a graphic designer to do for you that work. Yeah, but now it's possible just to generate that. Also, now in business, if you like to just run a simple analysis of a balance sheet or a profit and loss account, a ledger, yeah, you can easily just key in the data and the information on the ChatGPT, and then tells you that this is how your business is performing. This is what you need to look out for, and it can actually even predict the current trend, how you'll be performing in the coming months based on the data that you'll have fed it in. We also have other use cases. So, for example, in agriculture, yeah, we're able to feed information about the different profile of weather conditions, and it can tell you what kind of crops you can plant at a particular time, and actually even just recommend the right market pricing for the products that you'll be harvesting. Yeah, so we've seen that actually one of the key trending uses, and especially in African case, as we continue to put in place measures that are going to guide the use of those technologies, such as AI policies, yeah, that are not well pronounced at the moment.
Now, Timothy, I need us to pause in this moment because this is sounding so impressive. I'm just like, what? But I'm also getting scared because now it's sounding like I'm not going to need a chartered accountant. I'm not going to need a consultant. I don't need a graphic designer. It's scaring me because it sounds like these models are taking over. Generative AI is taking over our careers. What are we going to do?
So I think what you're trying to front is the fact that you're going to need an accountant. The only thing is you need an accountant who knows how to use AI. You get? Because I think one thing that protects some of these professions are the regulatory frameworks, because now you need to have an accountant that is
Certified, who's part of a
certified,
body, yes.
because of reports and everything. But now the accountant has to do more efficient work. So an accountant who knows how to use AI in his work has more ability to give you more accurate
Yeah, and quicker as
scan.
well. So the turnaround time is great.
Now, compared to one who doesn't, and then also even in law, in legal, lawsuits, a lawyer who knows how to use AI will give you more outcome that's more better than one who doesn't. Because of the huge amount of documents that have to be read and summarized and all.
Yeah, and I like the point of view you're giving in that as a general person, right? I'm not an accountant, I'm not a lawyer. I wouldn't even know what prompts to put onto ChatGPT. So my blind spots will mean that there's so much that I don't get to cover, and possibly many, many holes that I dig myself into because I haven't covered all the ground that an accountant would know to look for, or a lawyer would know how to cover.
Exactly, yeah. Such that now there is one of the knowledge areas that's being taught in most schools for AI is what you call prompt engineering. So what words are you keying in on the ChatGPT for you to get the right response? Yeah, because if you just key in any word, you may get, something that's not,
Junk in, junk out.
yeah, exactly, yeah.
So
Space.
it does sound to me like this is another way of making things faster and more efficient, right? It sounds like we've unlocked new ways to think and create altogether. Am I right?
Yes, you are right,
So how do you see AI, generative AI, transforming how we work, not just in the distant future, but right now?
Yeah, so one of the key areas that we'll see is a more efficiency, reduction of waste. Yeah, because you'll find more efficiencies, jobs which were taking way longer to be taking much less time. Yeah.
You know what
And
it is? Yeah. Sorry, continue.
yeah, sorry, and also in terms of the resources that organizations are using now. Yeah, for example, a job that will take 2 weeks to be done by three people can just be done within an hour with one person. Yeah. So that's really helpful.
You know, there's always that, not maybe not always, but there was this debate of how do I hire somebody to come in and do something for me, and then in 5 minutes they're done, but they're charging me so much money. And the argument has always been, you're not charging them for how long they're doing this thing. You're charging them for the experience that's enabled them to come and do this thing in 5 minutes. And so what I'm thinking now in my mind is it really challenges what we've always thought about how we measure the amounts of remuneration that needs to go for a certain service. For example, lawyers charge billable hours as well as accountants, right? So now if they can do the work in an hour that would normally take them 80 hours, how
Exactly.
does it look for them now? Are they and I'm talking ethics now. Are they charging for the 8 hours it should take or the 1 hour it now takes because of the efficiency that's granted to them by generative AI?
Because I think most of such professions that require billable hours are now re-looking at the model they used to charge, so they all focus more on output rather than the input of hours. Yeah, so it's about the quality, not quantity.
So are you saying
Yeah,
these professions are now re-looking at their pricing models?
precisely. Yeah,
It's about
you
time.
know, yeah, it's about time.
It's
Yeah.
about time. What are the actual
Yeah.
limitations of generative AI, though? Where does the magic
Yeah.
stop?
Okay, so just as we had alluded earlier, the issue of bias is really concerning. Yeah, because of now the nature of how this data is keyed in, because you have a system that's going to learn from its data. So if you have a scientist or an engineer who's keyed in data that sort of appears to connote the case I gave earlier, if you're learning from a data set that contains a lot of criminals who are blacks, so any new data that comes in for a black image will just
From that
rule it out to be crime.
foundation, yes.
Yeah, same to recruitment. We use it a lot in being able to identify suitable CVs,
Oh,
yeah,
yes, that
for
ATS.
employment. Yeah, so you find guys are now hacking and finding themselves being shortlisted for roles because I realize there's some keywords that are sort of looked at
I would do that as
when,
well. Because what do you mean you regret to inform me? I'm
exactly,
tired. Interesting.
so we have those bias, and also in healthcare, yeah. So in healthcare, we have use of the generative AI to identify things like anomalies in DNA, cancer cells, and all that are now we are saying now, look, we have to stop relying a lot on this because it's a bit sensitive and the accuracy is not well guaranteed. So we find some countries that have put on legislation to guide the use of generative AI have secluded some key industries from use of generative AI. So those industries include healthcare, because of sensitivity of the health,
Yeah.
and then also education. What if the AI is being used to replace learning? How do you work around that?
Yes.
And then last, and then lastly, food and agriculture, because of food safety. So you find some of those are quite too sensitive to tamper with.
Timothy, am I hearing you correctly that I could be putting out a CV to a company and their ATS is already kicking me out based on biases that are beyond just the keywords they are looking for?
Yes, that's
Oh.
true. It happens quite a lot, especially with firms that receive large amounts of CVs and have to rely on AI to filter.
So it could say if her name starts with Nompu, then kick her out.
Exactly. So
If she's
mostly
only
they may
worked for
look at
6 years, kick her out.
So the bias may come mostly to your educational background, which
Yeah.
universities you went to,
Yeah.
also which companies you worked for. So they tend to favor some companies more than others. So you find that is a clear bias. It doesn't really reflect on your ability to be given an opportunity to work.
Yes, I was about to say, because in all honesty, they could be missing out on great candidates because I can't necessarily put my soft skills on a CV, my personality on a CV, or just my aura, because there are some people who could be very smart but may not be a culture fit for your organization. So there's a lot that is being missed out on based on just words that are supposed to be popping out on a CV.
Yes, that's it.
So the best way to get a job is not via applying through your CV. It's just knowing somebody. Because at this rate, these robots are not favoring us.
They're not favoring,
Sure. There's a lot of talk about hallucinations when AI gives false information with confidence. Why does that happen?
So there's something called noise. So there's some noise, which is now the errors within the data labels in an AI model. So you may find that some of the areas that we know which are not so clear may come out in terms of the AI not being able to understand what was being queried, what was being asked at it. Such instances, what talk about that. And especially because the interaction with the generative AI is natural. It's human-like conversation and interactions. So it's just like the way we are talking now. You will be talking to an AI, you know. There's some things we talk about, like digital twins. So that's what brings about that issue, of noise within the AI.
So there's a funny, I don't know if it was an article or just a post on Instagram that I saw today. And it said something about how much it costs, I don't know if it's a company or just the whole concept when we say thank you and please to ChatGPT, right? And people were saying, I say please and thank you because I want to be polite in case there's a revolution, an AI revolution. I want to be on the side of AI and not left outside. What is all that talk about?
So in terms of just come again on that, in terms of the query, though.
So I and so what I want to really talk about is the revolution of the idea that people have that there'll be a revolution, an AI revolution against humans, I guess. And how I saw those comments was from a post, an article that said it actually costs, let's just say, ChatGPT so much more money, like in the billions, when we say please and thank you. And I guess it speaks to the processing of that unnecessary data when we say please and thank you. So I was very curious about this revolution that people are talking about. Where does that idea come from?
I think it's because also from a technical perspective, what usually happens is these systems use what we call tokens to generate feedback. And that's why you find if it's on a freemium platform, it limits you the number of queries you can do in a day,
Oh, yes, like
like
social
questions
media.
there.
Yes. And even the
Yeah,
quality of
so
the response, right? How many
exactly,
documents you can upload and things like that.
Yeah. So we find most of these freemium platforms people usually tend to abuse whenever they're using them. So that's why, yeah, that may occur. Yeah, but you're right. You're right. Yeah. So when different ChatGPT have got different uses, and we're not just ChatGPT. Yeah, we have other platforms like Perplexity. Yeah, we have Llama. Yeah, if you go to WhatsApp right now, I don't know whether you're WhatsApp. You updated even Meta. There's Meta AI within WhatsApp. Yeah, that purple button, you can easily chat with it.
And
Yeah,
like
and ask
now,
it questions.
now I want us to
You
talk
go
about
to
AI.
Twitter X. Yeah, you'll find Grok. Yeah,
But it sounds
within
like they
Twitter.
do a similar work to what we're used to with ChatGPT, right?
Yeah, but they've got different outcomes. Yeah. You go to Twitter, it can the one for X can give you more references in terms of pages. It searches the internet as well. Yeah, the one for Meta, it's Meta AI. It does more of Llama, which is large language models, which developed by Facebook itself. It's strong on language translations, basically, because of hinging itself on the background of WhatsApp, which is communication. Yeah. And then Facebook, which is sharing across different countries. Yeah.
Interesting. Now, I want us to dig a bit deep into the ethics part of all of this, right? Are we in danger of amplifying existing inequalities through AI if we're not intentional?
Yeah, so yeah, so we need, yeah, I think the potential of AI is it's going to be actually being driven by the use cases that you like to drive. Yeah, so already its potential has been able to spread across various applications areas, but we need now to appreciate the fact that we have a better understanding of what it does. What are the areas of concern that we need to take cognizance of? Yeah, and then also, how do we integrate it into our individual use cases? Yeah, it's not one size fits all. Yeah, the areas where it may be used a lot so is, for example, research and academia. What are the guidelines that we need to be cognizant of? We also have other areas such as in business applications, how do we ensure efficiency and the use of it? But then most importantly is how does it add value to our day to day? Yeah, you're able to minimize costs and grow your revenues, yeah, by utilizing. So it's not just a fun tool. I think for some moment it was a mesmerization. We're a tool and people are just using it for fun. Yeah.
What do I say to this guy who's asking me out? Like, yo, do you have money? Do you have a business? Because this thing could help you with business. Some people say this tech will empower humanity. Others say it will replace us. In your view, and I'm so interested to hear this, where does the human still matter most?
We're the human. Yeah. So the human now is mostly because of our natural intelligence and creativity. Yeah. You remember what you talked about the prompt engineering? Like, what do you ask it? Yeah. Yeah. So that's one of the key areas where we cannot discount ability to provide better. Yeah.
And can I just say something? When I
Yes,
started
please.
using ChatGPT, I actually realized how smart I am. 'Cause I'm just
Yeah.
like, geez, I don't think, okay, maybe not another person, but the fact that you get to ask it the quality of questions that produces the
Yes.
outcome, I think that's the magic, right? Because like we said earlier,
Exactly.
junk in, junk out. If you give
Exactly.
it something that's of least value, what you will get is substandard, subpar, mediocre responses. So until I started using
Precisely.
GCP, I was just like, girl, you smart.
Yeah. And you see, because of your years of experience and then also the level of exposure that you've had. But can you imagine 5 years earlier, you'll have been asking different questions, yeah?
Yes, this is
Yeah,
so true.
so that's what really matters
Yeah.
is your intuition, your knowledge and experience actually dictates how you're going to interact with it. Yeah.
Sure. Now I've got three more questions for you, and I don't have a lot of
Sure.
time, so we're just going to have
Okay.
to go through these intentionally, obviously, but promptly.
Mm-hmm.
If someone listening wants to start engaging with the space, not just reading headlines, but actually
Yeah.
learning, where should they begin?
Okay, from where we are now, we have a lot of segmentation of the
Okay.
use of generative AI.
Yeah.
So I'd suggest you look for a vertical that's closer to your area of expertise. So if you're in a finance, try to confine yourself to finance, generative AI in finance. If you're in marketing, confine yourself to that. And there's so many verticals that have been spun around to be able to address the various applications in each of those specialties. Yeah.
Where do we get these? Because I need one for journalism. I need to know how to do my job better.
Yeah, they do. We do. Yeah, we have them everywhere. Yeah, so you just need to look at the right direction. Now, the institutions that actually provide those trainings, there's some free online resources you can actually grab. Yeah, and actually, if you go to ChatGPT and there are modules within it that have been, because ChatGPT, it's like App Store, let me call it.
Yes.
D different people have created different things and uploaded there also. Yeah, so it's also a marketplace. So you might find something for journalism, a stack there. You might find marketers for finance guys. Yeah, design, music, art. Yeah, you'll find various applications uploaded there. So you'll just see some are free, some you have to pay, but it's business again. Yeah, so yeah, it's really something that can be.
Timothy, you've just
Self.
put us on. You've just showed or taught
Yeah.
all of us how to do our jobs better.
Yes, 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 yes. Yeah.
Okay. I'll make sure that I check it out when I get home.
Please do.
All
Yeah,
right. My
yeah,
penultimate
yeah.
question: what mindset to leaders need to adopt to thrive in this age, and so that they don't just react to change, right, but they actually shape it?
Yes, yeah, so I think the very right mindset is one of being there's a posture, you need to have what I call a digital dexterity posture, which you are driven. We are in the digital world, so yeah, a lot of things that you're doing now are virtualized. You're no longer having to struggle with analog things. So most leaders now need to champion the adoption of these technologies as a way of life, and that becomes easier for the organization to lean forward and go to towards the right direction. So providing guidelines, policies, how you can use ChatGPT, for example, in the workplace, will be a good thing, rather than barring and providing an environment that sort of suffocates the utilization of these technologies. Yeah. And then lastly, also in terms of providing training opportunities for the teams they're leading, yeah, because we were mostly in the winter period of these technologies, but now it's becoming more democratic. Yeah, so it's good
Sure.
to see how they develop further.
That's very
Yeah.
potent. Yeah. And finally, do you think Africa is at risk of being left behind in this AI race, or do you have an opportunity to leap ahead?
Okay, so yeah, so Africa should be, yeah. We need to invest a lot more of these resources. So one of the things that we have are natural resources. There's a technical side of AI that utilizes a lot of these minerals, like nickel, cobalt, and we have them here. Yeah, so processing, the most of the processes are built from those resources. Yeah, so how do we bring this back home? Instead of shipping those natural resources abroad for value addition. How do we create factories here that can do the value addition? Then we have homegrown AI labs that can be able to solve our own African problems. Yeah.
So are you saying, if I'm understanding you correctly, you're saying we can do more than just ship our natural resources for what we've commonly and normally done? That we can add like a, we can do an extra, if you want this, then there needs to be more value given to us.
Yes, exactly.
So we need to learn to trade and barter better.
That's exactly. Value addition, homegrown solutions, and then home problems. Yeah, because we can't expect other people to come and solve our own problems. We have to develop our own solutions. So, for example, we don't have good, what we call, facial recognition that can recognize black faces. We have a lot of diversity in our facial features that have made it very hard for us to have facial recognition technologies. And then also language translations, because we're talking about uniting Africa to be one big Africa. But then if someone communicates in Hausa and another one communicates in Zulu, are they able to communicate? Now it's possible on a global front. If someone to talk in Chinese, another in Russia, they'll communicate. But are we able to do the same in Africa? You know, those are the capabilities of chat generative AI that we can be able to harness.
What you're saying to me now is making me think about how different, if our leaders or more people thought like this, I'm thinking about how different the conversations could go with all of these tariffs that the US is imposing on us, like 25% in South Africa, 14% in Nigeria. Like if we really understood what we had and what we stood to gain from what we have, I think the conversations would be different. Like, are you sure? Are you sure you want to do that because of what we know we have? It's quite interesting.
Yes, yes. That's the kind of conversation you need to convict ourselves.
Sure. Timothy, this was so good. This was so good. I'm just, you know, for my listeners, if you came in feeling uncertain, maybe even a little intimidated by this thing called generative AI, I hope today you leave feeling empowered, you know, empowered to ask better questions, empowered to stay human in the face of machine precision. Also empowered to see technology not just as a tool, but as a test. And like I said earlier, a test of our wisdom, a test of our values, a test of whether we'll use what's in our hands to build something better or just build faster. And man, to you, Timothy, so brilliant. Thank you for lighting the path and showing the clarity and conscience also that can coexist in this new world. Thank you so, so much for coming through.
You're welcome.
This was absolutely brilliant. Where do people get you if somebody who's running a corporation or anybody else who can really benefit from your services, where do we get you? How can you serve us?
Okay, so we can connect on LinkedIn. My name is Timothy Oriedo. And our email, I mean, our website is www.predictiveanalyticslab.ai. Yeah, it's got our contacts there. And we'd be happy to serve you and respond to any of your queries. Further through this conversation, I'm very much willing to support.
Oh, thank you so, so much for lending us your time and your wisdom. This was incredible. Have a lovely evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. I'd love to leave you with this, right? I need you to remember that the future doesn't belong to the smartest machine. It belongs to the most awake human. And as you heard, it requires our data, our prompts, our questions, our information for it to behave the way that it does. So you're not left behind. You actually just need to know how to use it and to leverage it so you can be better, do better, and get better outcomes from the work that you do. Folks, that's it for this week's Tech Tuesday edition. I'm so full. I've learned so much. My homework assignment is to go to ChatGPT and look at all the verticals, as he called it, to be able to see where I can improve in the things that I do, how I can build better, be better, and just really improve the quality of my life. and the quality of my outcomes. You know, I'm somebody who's building a speaking career, a broadcasting career, and I've done so many other things, and learning how to do them efficiently and well. I think that is what a lot of us require and want, right? So let's use these systems to make our lives better and to get better outcomes for ourselves. Okay? All right. I'm Nompumelelo Mbonane, and I hope you've just made sense of your business.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.